नमो राम हरे हरे ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंटरी बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद फाउंडर एंड आचार्य द इंटरनेशनल सोसाइटी फॉर कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस सेवियर ऑफ द मॉडर्न वर्ल्ड श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। टुडे वी विल डिस्कस फ्रॉम चैप्टर 15 which is entitled The Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 15. It's a well-known verse. Sarvasyacham hriti sannivishto
Mattasmriyajnanam
apohanam cha
Mattasmriyajnanam apohanam cha The knower of the Vedas, Eva, certainly, Cha, and Aham, I. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Please repeat. I am seated.
I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and it is from Him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is the witness to all his work. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. Thus, the Lord is not only all-pervading, he is also localized in every individual heart. He awards the different fruit of results. He is worshipable not only as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the localized Paramatma, but as the form of the incarnation of the Vedas as well. The Vedas give the right direction so to people so that they can properly mold their lives and come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Krishna in his incarnation as Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. The communication of the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the real understanding of Vedanta Sutra. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuff, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of the Vedas, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita.
He is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus God is all good. God is all merciful. Anta pravishtaha shasta janana. The living entity forgets as soon as he quits his present body, but he begins his work again, initiated by the Supreme Lord. Although he forgets, the Lord gives him the intelligence to renew his work where he ended his last life. So not only does a living entity enjoy or suffer in this world according to the dictation of the Supreme Lord, situated locally in the heart, but he receives the opportunity to understand the Vedas from him. If one is serious about understanding the Vedic knowledge, then Krishna gives the required intelligence. Why does he present the Vedic knowledge for understanding? Because a living entity individually needs to understand Krishna. The Vedic literature confirms this. Yo sau sarvayar vedayar giyate. In all Vedic literature, beginning from the four Vedas, Vedanta Sutra, and the Upanishads and Puranas, the glories of the Supreme Lord are celebrated. By performance of Vedic rituals, discussion of the Vedic philosophy, and worship of the Lord in devotional service, he is attained. Therefore, the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. The Vedas give us direction by which to understand Krishna and the process of realizing him. The ultimate goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta Sutra 114 confirms this in the following words. Tat tu samandhaya. One can attain perfection in three stages. By understanding Vedic literature, one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing the different processes, one can approach him, and at the end, one can attain the supreme goal, who is no other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the purpose of the Vedas, the understanding of the Vedas, and the goal of the Vedas are clearly defined. Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Taittiriya Aranyaka, Anta Pravishta Shasta Jananam. That means all living entities are impelled by the Lord from within the heart. What do we get from the Lord within the heart? Who's listening? But Krishna specifically lists three things. What are they? Well, four things. Yeah, three things. Smriti, jnana, apohana. What does smriti mean? Remembrance. Jnana, knowledge. And apohana? Forgetfulness. Wait a minute. Why forgetfulness? Why does the Lord supply us forgetfulness? It seems like nobody likes to forget things, unless it's really traumatic, and therefore you do forget them. Nobody remembers their past life because it was too traumatic. Think about it. It's going to happen again. It's going to keep happening. Every time, every new body, every new chapter, you're going to have to keep undergoing the same thing again and again and again. So, smriti, memory is absolutely critical. If you have all the intelligence in the world minus memory, what will it do for you? You don't remember the word to describe what you're thinking. You don't even think some things because you forget those also. Memory is absolutely crucial. I took care of my elderly mother until she died. In the end, she had some sort of dementia. Her span of memory was about 3 days. Longer than 3 days ago, she couldn't remember anything. Unless it was like 50 years ago. That's when you get old, this is what happens. Nobody's old here yet. But when you get old, this is what happens. Long-term memory, you retain that. Short-term memory, did I just brush my teeth or not? We all experience this every day. Wait a minute, did I put this away? Or these things happen all the time when your brain starts disintegrating, when your synapses start misfiring and nothing connects and you can't remember anything. So smriti is absolutely crucial. And who supplies that smriti? Krishna. How does he do it? Antapravishta shasta. He's the one driving this process from within. He supplies, as Paramatma, he supplies remembrance. And then what do you do with all this raw data that's floating around in your memory? How do you organize it? That is called what? Jnana. Intelligence. Awareness, actually. Buddhi is a different thing. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reminds us that one of the elements is buddhi. Does that sound right to you? Anybody went to college? You studied how many elements? 26 or something elements they have? They have a little chart and you're supposed to memorize it. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that memory, that buddhi, intelligence, that is one of the elements. Do you believe it? I want some comments. You believe it? We believe it because we hear it from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But what does it mean? How many elements are there? How many elements in this world are described in Bhagavad Gita? Mahabhudani Ahangado Ityadi. Right? You have Bhumi, Apa, Analo, Vayu, Kham, Mana, Buddhi. Ityadi. So Buddhi is one of the elements. Buddhi is that faculty that allows you to take raw data that's stored in the memory, random access memory, we might say, and to organize it in a productive manner. Prabhupada put it very simply when he said, to know who is who and what is what, that is intelligence. And so a person who doesn't see things as they are, that person is lacking in intelligence. This is why Srila Prabhupada regularly, throughout his books, makes the very bold statement, the very jarring statement, that people who have less intelligence cannot understand this process. It's actually not just rhetoric. It's not just offensive sentiment. It is actually gyan. Gyan means to understand what is the function of buddhi, what is the function of memory, what is the function of all these things that are mentioned here. I've already asked the question, what is the function of apohanam? Apohanam means what? To take it away. You have some intelligence, you have some smriti, and he takes it away in due course of time. You're going to lose everything. Who wants to hear that? It's better to go and pay somebody who gives you a mantra and tells you that within 6 months you'll become God. Because he's got at least 6 months to take your money before you figure it out. But if somebody at the very outset tells you, look, Baba, you're going to lose everything. Do we like to hear that? If you go to an Indian Jyotish, he'll not tell you the bad news, isn't it? You have experience of this? They never tell you the bad news. Only a Westerner will do that because he's trying to be rational. Courtesy Rene Descartes. So, apohanam actually serves its purpose. You're going to lose your intelligence. It's just a question of time. My mother lost hers. I also cannot memorize things the way that I used to. And I'm not even that old yet. But everything will be taken away from us. Your health, your finances, your relatives, your loved ones, your attachments, your abilities, your prestige, you name it, anything and everything, it will be taken away. So really apohanam is just the opposite of these two very crucial things as far as central processing goes. Smriti and jnana, those are both very essential. And Krishna removes them sometimes. I've already mentioned it, at least at the time of death, because Srila Prabhupada in his purport here seems to indicate that this is what Krishna is talking about. At least it's what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. So,
if you can wake up in the morning, that is Krishna's mercy. Is it? Or is it the mercy of your cell phone? You don't hear your cell phone unless Paramatma is within there saying, hey, wake up. You won't hear a thing. Yesterday I was so tired. I called my wife on the phone. She's in Vrindavan. And she had to go and do something immediately, so she said, call me back in 5 minutes. So I said, okay. I put down the phone and I was so tired that I immediately went out. And I called her back half an hour later and she said, what happened? I thought you were going to call me back. You see? We're not in control of our senses. They're not even our senses. Did you purchase them? Well, sort of, you can say, maybe. Through your past deeds, you purchased your present set of senses. Do you have a title deed for them? Can you control them? When it's time for them to rot and stop working, do you have any say in the matter? No. Therefore, the devotee recognizes, what is that verse? Thank you for waking me up in the morning. Anybody know this one? Rishikeshena yatvaya, I've been awoken by you. I forget where it's from. Anyways, it's not in Prabhupada's books. You won't find it on your little thing there. But anyway, if Paramatma does not supply the required intelligence, and if Paramatma does not supply the required memory, and if Paramatma removes either one of those also, then you can't even remember how to tie your shoes in the morning. Do they allow you to wear chappals at Infosys? Or do you have to wear proper shoes? You have to wear shoes, right? Yeah, because they have shishyapav to such a degree that they've understood that this is proper dress. Even though people have been wearing chappals here for hundreds and hundreds of years, including all their forefathers. But the shishyapav is very prominent in the Indian psyche. And they've surrendered to the Western corporate paradigm. So now they know that this is properly dressed. One devotee I know, his brother is ICICI Bank president. And he told me that in this company, they don't even allow you to keep a picture of Krishna as your screensaver on your computer. Why is that? Anybody, you would understand this better than I do, because I don't understand it. Any of you have insight into why somebody would say no pictures of Krishna in your office cubicle? What's the logic behind it? Somebody must have some idea. You people work here also. What is it? They don't have such a policy, maybe at Infosys. IT is a little bit more laid back, I guess. In Microsoft, the devotees I know, and this is in Redmond, Washington, Seattle, Microsoft headquarters. When Microsoft was on top of that world. The devotees all used to go to work wearing brilliant tilak on their foreheads. Bead bags, they would wear saris, no problem. You do your work, we're happy. That's America. But in India, if you have a picture of Krishna as your screensaver, they're going to harass you and persecute you. Just like Kamsa did 5,000 years ago. Sachaina. So, anyway, you can give that some thought in your spare time. But the idea is that our senses are all controlled by the Lord, and everything that we get and everything that we don't get is regulated by Him. We should recognize that. So then he says, he's quoting from the Taittiriya Aranyaka, Antapravishta Shasta Jananam, that we've been describing so far. Next thing, he quotes from the 11th canto, Atvato Jnanam, Hi Jivanam, Pramoshas Tatra Shaktidaha. That means that if you have Jnana, then it's coming from Krishna only. Uddhava speaks to Krishna. This is 11:22-28. You are the source of jnana for all the jivas. You are the shakti in that jnana.
Even you have the jnana, but you don't know how to use that jnana. The shakti also comes from him. And pramosha. What does pramosha mean? Pramush. Mush dhatu. Pramush. To steal it away. Same thing. Apohana. He steals it. Mrityu sarva harashaman. If not before that, at least in the time of death, everything lost. Everything. Tanani bhumau. Pashavashta goshte. Your money will stay in the bank. Your car will stay in the driveway. Used to be they put money in the ground. Therefore, bhumau. Tanani bhumau. Pashavashta goshte. Animals were previously in a sustainable technology, in a sustainable culture. Animals are actually more important than automobiles because animals are sustainable. And they're also biodegradable. It's sustainable. Now there's a many, many miles wide ocean of plastic revolving in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Where is that plastic coming from? Does anyone know? It floats down the Mushi River. Mushi River goes to the ocean? All rivers go to the ocean. So this is where it comes from. And it's getting bigger and bigger. So much so that if you go to Midway Island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, this is a famous place. It was the site of a World War II air battle. But it's about the most remote place that you can imagine, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the biggest ocean in the world. But if you go there and stand on the beach, you will see plastic bottles and bags and garbage from all over the world. See? It's not biodegradable. It's not sustainable culture that we live in. We've created a very injurious, unsustainable, and ultimately unethical as well. So a mode of living that cannot be sustained. But for those who sustain a natural lifestyle, they recognize that animals are actually a better idea. And don't believe all this garbage about methane gas that the meat eaters try to sell you, because it's all bakvas. But anyway, it must be the Christians next door, right? Yes. Yes. All right, so you supply all the knowledge, you remove all the knowledge. Tanami bhumau pashavashta goshte. What's the next line? Anybody know this verse? Narihi grihadvare. Your wife will come as far as the doorway to your house and no further. No. Nari grihadvare, janaha smashane, your friends and relatives, they will come to your funeral. They will come further than the wife. And, dehas chittayam, your body will sit on the chitta. It goes further than the relatives. No relative will sit on the chitta with you. Not even the wife nowadays. Dehas chittayam, paraloka marge, when you're on the road to the next world, to the next life, karnamanu ho vachati jiva eka. Jiva will go on alone. The jiva who has chosen to traverse the path of karma in this life, we're all making choices every day, every minute of every day. We're making choices. And when we choose karma, this is what happens. Nothing will go with you, which is another way of saying pramosha. Everything removed. Mrityu sarva harasham by whom? By me, Krishna says. Maya adhyakshena prakati suyate sacharacharam. You can say he's got his adhyaksha overseeing everything. That is Maya Devi. She's doing it directly, but ultimately it's under his order. So Baladev Vidyabhushan, he brings up a very interesting point in his commentary on this verse. He says, this verse proves that actually Krishna is the one who is giving us all good things and all bad things. Raise your hand if you agree with this. You have to agree with it. Baladev Vidyabhushan says so, you know that. So we don't like to hear this. Generally we like to explain things away and, you know, no, it's actually coming from Krishna. It is. It is. But why does he do like this? Why does he throw us into this world where we can only mess up and then hold us accountable when we do? What kind of a God is this? I want somebody to give me some thoughtful answer on this. Who has something to say about it? even the pundits are saying anything. Well, maybe. The point is, he gives us this minute independence, and he holds us accountable for our choices, but they are not his choices, they are our choices. I gave this example yesterday. If you live in Hyderabad, every 10 feet you will see Sneha Fresh Chicken, or Lakshmi Wine Shop, or something like that. So every time you pass it, Jayato Vishayan Pulsa, Pulsas Te Shupa Jayate, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Ityadi, you know the verse. By seeing this again and again, some subtle association is created in the mind. Jayato Vishayan Pulsam, Sangas. This is called Sangha. There's some association is there. Yeah, I saw that last time also, I recognize. That is called Sangha. Sangas Te Shupa Jayate. And sangat sanjayate kama. Where does your desire come from? From these sanghas that are created in your mind by what your senses are putting into your brain. If you see it enough, you will start to feel some way or the other towards it, either positive or negative. Advertisers know this very well. That's why, even now, even in Vrindavan, believe it or not, there are big billboards advertising. I came out of MVT one day and I turned right. And I looked at the end of the street, and there was a big billboard with a smiling Russian lady full of nice bright white teeth that said, "Have a healthy smile and visit our dental office." In Vrindavan, it used to be that Hardi Bar Par Agarani Ka Naam Hota Tha. But now it's like, you know, Lay's potato chips, Airtel, dentistry, everything under the sun. Because they know very well that if you think about, if you see this enough, you're going to think about it enough. And if you think about it enough, you're going to make some sort of decision. Which faculty is this? We're not in the realm of the buddhi anymore. When we talk about decision, what does that mean? Not intelligence. Mind. Mind is a toggle switch. Sankalpa, vikalpa. It only does these two things. Yes, I want it. No, I don't want it. That's why the intelligence is so important, because the intelligence tells you why you should want it or why you should not want it. Only intelligence can do that. So we have to cultivate intelligence. And Krishna will help. He supplies it, if we've been reading this. So, the same principles, of course, work in Krishna consciousness. If we see Krishna enough, if we hear Krishna's name enough, if we hear his glories enough, if we take his prasadam enough, if we render service enough, then a new kind of sangha is created in our psychology. What's that sangha called? Satsangha. Satsangha. And satsangha, of course, also means the association of devotees. That's very, very important, because that the association of spiritual energy is much stronger. That is to say, when we associate with other living beings, their experiences, their views, their desires, their feelings, all these things have a much greater impact on us. That's why we're instructed, do not associate with non-devotees, because you will get the influence of their desires, their experiences, their viewpoints, all these destructive things. It will take you down. It will help you along this path of apohanancha, forgetting Krishna, if that's what you want. So to answer my own question about why Krishna gives us this apohanam, in addition to the supplying us with the knowledge and remembrance, the thing is that this is love, ultimately. There's a nice verse in the Purvimimamsa Sutra of Jainadi about the karma kanda. And he says that ultimately the only purpose of any of this is love. Very indirectly he says this. It's not just about duty, although we generally think that way. Generally when we think karma kanda, we think dharma. But actually, dharma itself is meant for something higher as well. After adhato dharma jignyasa, then when we've graduated from karma kanda, then what do? Then we go to jnana kanda. And what is the motto there? Instead of Atato Dharma Jignyasa, what do we do? Atato Dharma Jignyasa.
Yes.
And the perfection of this Vedanta, Jnana, is what kind of Vedanta?
Bhakti Vedanta.
Devotion, love. So, from you comes all this remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Then, he's also quoting here again, Yo asau sarverve dayarjiyate. This is, this particularly means either the karma kanda or the jnana kanda. This is some Shruti mantra. I don't remember where it's from. Baladev gives this also in his commentary. Yo asau sarvayar vedayar diyate. What does it mean? He is the one who is glorified in all the Vedas. And Baladev points out, for those who are too indirect and don't want to take directly to Krishna consciousness, for them he is glorified indirectly through the path of karma mimamsa, karma kanda, as we've been describing, dharma. The path of being a dutiful, nice human being who's moving up. This is dharma. Or if you want to take to more directly, then there's jnana kanda. And that is the Vedanta. You cultivate some spiritual knowledge and understand who you are, what you are to do, etc. Even that's a little bit indirect, and therefore Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he takes it to the next logical step. He says, one can approach the Lord, what does he say here? By performance of Vedic rituals, by discussion of the Vedic philosophy, that is karma kanda and jnana kanda, respectively, and worship of the Lord in devotional service, he is attained. So Srila Prabhupada takes it to the conclusion of jnana. What is the conclusion of jnana in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita? After many, many births, someone who has been cultivating jnana, what does Krishna say? He realizes everything is Vasudeva, and what does he do? He surrenders unto Krishna. He surrenders. This is bhakti. This is bhakti. When your jnana is perfect, then you see everything in proper perspective and you understand there's really nothing that I need to be doing except serving Krishna. If we have other priorities, it means only that our jnana has been apurna, pramoshna. It has been removed by the Lord himself. Why by the Lord? Because we want it. We want it. This is the point I was making. You see Sneha fresh chicken enough, you will go in there one day. You see Lakshmi, Ganesh wine shop, they all seem to be named after demigods. They haven't caught on to the North Indian craze, which is to not even use Indian names anymore. Why should they? Nothing on the inside is Indian, so why keep it externally, right? This is the logic, it would seem. So, you know. Anyway, better to name your wine shop after a demigod than, you know, sunflower or something like that. At least there's some remembrance, some scope for remembering Krishna at some point. Anyway, so Krishna is doing this because it's what we want. This is love. It's not just, as I was telling someone last night, if we're all turned into automatons and we have no free will in the matter, no choice, and we're just pre-programmed that we cannot possibly do wrong, then that's not really love anymore, is it? That's more like AI. So, love means you're a person and he's also a person and you have some relationship, some exchange. This is the point. That exchange can only happen when you have a choice. And choice means you may make the wrong choice. Nobody is pushing you to go into Venkatesh wine shop. But if you do it, we have a nice saying in English, curiosity killed the cat. Did I mention this the other day? I think I did. Or, you know, it also roasted the monkey in Vrindavan, for those of you who remember the story. This is our problem. We have this might of independence, and therefore we have a tendency to misuse it sometimes. But when we do, then we generally don't forget that experience, just like children. Prabhupada said, he was sitting with his son in his house. This is when he was a householder. And he was encouraging his son to put his finger into the fan because the son was trying to played in the fence. And Prabhupada said, yeah, go ahead and do it. So he, little son put his finger inside the fan and boom! And then Prabhupada, he started crying, and Prabhupada calmed him down. And then some Prabhupada, push it again, touch it again. Said, no, I'm not going to do that again. This is, the material world is meant for that purpose. It's meant only for that purpose. I mentioned this last night. Tough love. When you're little children, what is the name of this school over here? Sri Vidyaketan. Yeah, when you're going to Sri Vidyaketan and you're below 5, or below 6 at least, then sometimes they have to discipline the children. Not here so much. In America, it's a real problem because they're all monkey samskaras. But they call it tough love. You have to be a little stern with them, children. So we're like that. We're like spoiled children with bad samskaras. So Krishna has to turn us over to Maya, and Maya's going to slap us silly until we actually wake up and understand that we're not going to get what we're trying to get because it's not constitutional for us. It's not possible. All right, so these are some of the things that he says here. And finally, in the very end, the fourth reference given by Baladev, Srila Prabhupada is quoting from Vedanta Sutra, Chatur Sutri, one of the first of the Vedanta Sutras, Tattu Samandayat. What does that mean? Therefore, there's a conclusion here. What is that conclusion? The conclusion is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we should surrender to Him. Krishna is telling us this. I think it was either Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or maybe Baladeva Vidyabhushan. He points out that the first half of the verse, Krishna is illustrating for us His position, what He does. He's within our hearts, everyone's hearts, sarvasya, and He is supplying smriti jnana apohana. Then the second half of the verse, he says, this is where Krishna tries to give us some impetus to act on this understanding. What is the impetus? I made these Vedas. These Vedas are coming from me. I'm the ahameva. Only I know the purpose of these Vedas. Why? Vedanta Krit. I am the compiler of the Vedanta. We've got a couple of sleepers over here. Only I am the one who compiled Vedanta. In what form did Krishna compile the Vedanta? Huh? How did Krishna compile Vedanta? In the form of Vyasadeva. Krishna says this. I entered into Vyasadeva and made Vyasadeva compile these Vedic literatures. Therefore, Krishna can say, Vedanta Krit, Aham. I am the compiler of the Vedanta. And Veda this. Therefore, only I know the Vedas, because even Vyasa didn't know the Vedas until I entered him and made him speak what he spoke. Therefore, that verse is there. Vyaso veti na veti va. He may know or he may not know. This is one reference. Okay, so the next half of the line should dispel our doubts, if we have any doubt that maybe Krishna doesn't understand the Vedas or something like that. No. Why should we listen to Krishna? Because of this. All knowledge means the Vedas, and it's all coming from Krishna. You will never figure out anything better than Krishna has figured it out already. Okay? These are just a few things we can think about with regards to this verse. Srila Prabhupada has given a wonderful purport, as always, and we can study more of it and see more nuances than we've illustrated today, but hopefully this is something you can think about at least. Does anybody have any questions or any comments on any of this? Yes, lots of Dev Krishna.
Vedas are eternal, but Krishna has compiled it. Is it the correct understanding?
The Vedas are eternal, but Krishna has compiled it. That's a contradiction. And is it the correct understanding? Yes, it's a contradictory conclusion. Get used to it, there's plenty more coming. In one sense, you can say Krishna created the Vedanta as Vyasadeva because he wrote it down. And even the four Vedas he divided, no? The Vedas are unauthored, they're eternal. But he's presenting them to us in the form of Vyas. Krishna in the form of Vyas is giving them to us. So no, the Vedas are not actually created. They're eternal. But actually, if you think about it, nothing else is created either. Hey, no? Nothing is created. Everything keeps coming back again and again and again in due course. We keep coming back. The material bodies keep coming back. Everything is a pre... It's a pre-programmed template that is activated with each new creation, which happen again and again in a cyclic manner. Day is not created. Day is nitya hota hai. Day. But they keep coming again and again. Yesterday, today, tomorrow.
Because with our limited understanding, it's difficult to understand that something is not created, it's always there. It's very difficult to understand that.
With our limited understanding, it's difficult to understand that something that is
never created.
Never created.
Always there, because we see everything is created and that is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if our frame of reference, which it is something within this mundane conceptual universe that we operate within, then it will be very difficult. But as we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and as we hopefully become purified of these mundane misconceptions of life, then we begin to see things are operating a little bit differently than the way that we previously thought they were. We begin to see. Very clearly we see. More clearly than we could see anything else. Because it's real. Then we understand. It's experiential understanding. It cannot fit within the canon of logic because it's non-logical. Logically it's a contradiction. I said that already. But you can experience the reality of it personally in a subjective way. It's definitely you can do this. You just have to try it. So faith is the required step. Okay? Vasudeva.
Krishna gives us a remembrance that is Smriti, to be close to him, as well as forgetfulness also too close to him. So my question is, when devotees trying to remember some philosophy while they are forgetting, because they are trying to remember philosophy just to close him so that we can understand him, still why it is finding difficulty?
Good question. The thing is that mostly we're working within the constraints of our own karma. It's limited how much memory and how much intelligence and how much forgetfulness we have. It's all limited by our karma. The karma is the regulating factor here. And until our devotion is very strong, Krishna generally doesn't disturb our karmic situation so much. He could do that if he wanted to. But... for the most part, I would say, Krishna wants us to recognize the rarity of this jewel that we have and to appreciate how difficult it is actually to gain full Krishna consciousness. And for that reason, it's difficult. For that reason, it's difficult. And even we're trying to do something for Krishna, but we can't really overcome the constraints of our karma because we're still conditioned. On a very subtle level, on a kind of a samskara level, imperceptible, subconscious level, visceral level. You know, we're working within the karmic paradigms. That kind of thing gets burnt up, usually after some time. It takes a while. Is that okay? That's my answer. Somebody else may have another insight into it. Way in the back. Loudly. Can you hear a word you're saying?
Why
Shaligram
is great?
Why Shaligram is great? Huh? Yeah. Well, let's see if there's any questions or any comments on today's class directly first. Okay, Madhava. 11:22:28. That Baladeva also says in his Kila. No, he didn't. He quoted all the others in Baladeva course, but he doesn't quote that one for some reason. Maybe he felt it was self-evident because it only paraphrases what Krishna himself says in this verse. That's part of the Uddhava Gita. All the instructions you hear in Bhagavad Gita, you'll hear them again in the Uddhava Gita. It's kind of an expanded version of Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada didn't see it necessary. Nittam cha vakyam. That's when you're in Guru Dasha or Shukra Dasha. Wait until you get to Rahu Dasha, Ketu Dasha, Shanika Dasha, then you'll find that nothing works. Nothing comes easily. The people who are bewildered by Ahankara, they think, oh, I'm great, I can do it, I can handle anything. And then they change and they get bewildered because they realize that they didn't actually know who they were. And they're not sure who they are now even. You see? We are conditioned souls. That's what it means. Even if you're the sun, sometimes you're going to be eclipsed by this pipsqueak called Rahu. He's not even a planet. But, you know, he can overcome you even if you're the moon or the sun. This is in Hitopadesh. Likitamabhidalache called Samkasamartha. This is the idea. That was the answer to his question. This thing is not so easy to overcome. To be a conditioned soul is, first of all, we have to understand what it means to be a conditioned soul. Then we can understand, we have some frame of reference to understand whether or not we are liberated souls. Vidyam cha vidyam saya. Vidyam. Is it clear? What? I can't hear you because there's no here. He's going to get roasted now.
Because of the samskaras from birth or family or the society, some austerities or some vidis and nishedas of devotional service, some people are able to take it up with very less effort.
Nesham phandagatam papam.
Some people actually they put greater effort to come to a standard lower than that.
Yes,
so, does Krishna consider the greater effort as a greater merit, or does he give more credit to the person who is putting greater effort to come even to a lower standard, or no?
Hamari Asha is he hears the word. Yeah, the thing is, yeah, this is the next verse. That's Jayatam Mangapabhyante. As you surrender, then Krishna reciprocates accordingly. The external considerations are completely relative. And you will find, if you haven't found already, that as you make advancement in devotional service, Krishna keeps raising the bar higher and higher. So for one person, say, you know, there was one devotee actually in San Diego, and this lady had been drinking tea for her whole life. And she said, everything I love about the philosophy, I like chant 16 rounds, I can follow the principles, but I cannot give up tea. So for her, it was like a huge problem. And I never drank tea even before I joined this time, so it's not an issue, you see? But yeah, the thing is that Krishna recognizes sacrifice is highly relative to your own conditioning. When you're giving something up for Krishna, at least on a devotional level, then Krishna reciprocates with that. On a ritual level, maybe not. Ritual level is as long as you follow the vidhi, then you get the results. But that's not advancing you spiritually. It's different. So on this bhakti path, even you don't even have to be a human being all the time. Gajendra was an elephant. Hanuman was a monkey. Jatayu was a vulture. Where was Jatayu's birth? There's a nice verse like that in the Padyavali. Where was Vidura's kula? Where was Ugrasen's, Sharya? Like this. He's giving example after example of devotees who, by material estimation, they were in a lesser condition. But Krishna still carried them. Where was Pukja's beauty? That's another example. Until Krishna touched her, she was ugly, huh?
hunchback. Trivakra, she was called. So devotee can overcome the natural disadvantages, but a devotee has to overcome those. You have to work at it also. You know. This is why Krishna says at the end of chapter 7 that for those who want to sustain a mature commitment to pure devotional service, to be solidly situated in piety is a great asset. It's a great asset. Because you it's kind of like this. I used to teach in the University of Washington, and we used to call them heritage students. They're from India, and they can speak fluent Hindi, but they don't know how to read and write. So, you know, to read and write, learn how to read and write, it's not so difficult thing. It takes them about 2 weeks, then they test out and they're done. See? They have a natural advantage. But the Americans have to figure it out, and it's a whole new way of looking at things, and it's, you see? A little bit like that. So to be in an advantageous position is probably desirable for most people. And Krishna recognizes that in chapter 7. Yesham tvantikatam papam jnanam purikarnam te tvantvamokam yirmukta jante mantirakata. The others we see, they come, they go. Because the piety is not there. It's like trying to light fire to a piece of wood that's already damp. If the wood is damp, it's, you know, it's not, you can't light it. So, but if it's very dry, then no problem. Does that answer your question? Anything else? Yes. Good.
What do you mean when point is Vedas are eternal and compared with days? In days when we are
the Vedas are eternal, but they're not always manifest, except in sound. So, with each and every creation, and also depending on the particular creation, the Vedas are going to manifest. They're going to become, you know, vyakta, you can say, in slightly different ways. It's not that they weren't there before, but they, you know, we say samudbhavam, but it's not like generation. It's not like the Vedas are generated. They're eternal, but they become prakarta, you might say. Just like Krishna's dham is the same way. Vrindavan dham is always there, but sometimes it becomes covered over by McDonald's restaurant, for example, in Mathura, that's one of them. It's the dham is there, but it's avyakta because, you know, somebody has decided to build a McDonald's restaurant there. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. But pratishtitam, they're already established. Pratishta and sambhava, they're not necessarily the same thing. Is that okay? The best way to look at it is that the Vedas are eternal in the sound vibration, because that sound doesn't go away. But even the sound, you know, the grammarians look at it in terms of what are those three things? Sanniti, akanksha, and yogyata. When you speak a word, there has to be, you know, one word finishes, and then the next word begins. You can't begin the next word unless you finish the previous word. And the Vedas are comprised of words, so it would seem that the words have a beginning and an end, right? It's like that. Does that help answer your question? Okay, anything else?
Can you say that it's in unmanifested state, Vedas?
You can say that. Yeah, you can say that. And each and every creation, they come to us a little bit differently also. Bhagavatam is the same way. Depending on the size of the universe, depending on the kalpa, depending on the age, they will be manifested slightly differently. Okay, anything else? Yes.
Continuing the previous question of Vasudeva Krishna, like our karma is a regulating factor for the jivas. So, in that sense, there is a question about what is our duty and how much we can achieve in this life.
whether we can have the goals set for us, and we don't know the future. We have to aim for high, and then sometimes because of our karma, we may or may not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So, what should be our ambition, or what should be our duty?
Ambition and duty are two different things.
Yeah, means like we should be ambitious for the higher things. But
for spiritual things, you mean?
For spiritual
okay.
things. And regards, of course, duty is will become a part of life as it unfolds. So, in a sense, whether we can aim high or not.
I think your question is a little bit too general. Maybe you should need to be more specific if you can.
In a sense, like, many times we aim high and we may or may sometimes achieve what we are trying to, and sometimes we may not.
Aim high means in spiritual pursuits?
In spiritual and material pursuits.
And material pursuits. Okay. Right. Okay, well, did everybody hear the question? How should we summarize your question, sankshipta?
To have something higher goals in life, whether it is a karma, be considered a factor in aiming high or not.
Let me paraphrase this. You can tell me whether I've got it or not. I think you're asking some variant of an age-old perennial question. If everything is already predestined, then what is the point of exercising my volition to try to get something better than this due to me? Okay, very good. Then that's a fairly easy one to deal with. This is where, as you said, dharma comes into the question, because Krishna says in chapter 16, a person should decide what to do and what not to do on the basis of what's enjoined for him to do in Shastra. We should do our duty, that we have to do. If we don't do that, then we have to suffer some karmic reaction for that. But we want things that are sometimes extrajudicial. We want things that are beyond our duty. We have material desires. This is why we mentioned this last night. Dharma, artha, kama. So what the things that we want may not be necessary in terms of our duty, and they may not even be attainable in terms of our karma. So how much should we try for those things if it's already written on our forehead what we're going to attain and what we're not? Well, you don't know, but if you have a good Jyotish, I mean a really good one, he can give you some idea, and then you can make your decisions accordingly. To have an idea of what is your product of karma for this life, it's a good idea. It's like having an infallible GPS system when you get in the car and start driving somewhere. You have to know what's happening on the road ahead. You see? And to be aware of your product of karma means to understand. If I am going to get into, say, Ketu Mahadasha and Rahu Saptasha next week, then I might not want to make a major investment at that time, you see? Or I might want to make a life-changing decision at that time, you see? This kind of thing is also important. So we should try our best, but we should educate ourselves. We should make an informed decision about what we do. This is the material world, and everyone has ambitions in this world. Non-spiritual ambitions, I'm saying. So fine. You can go for whatever you want, that's your life, you know. But it's a good idea to be quite aware of what's feasible for you. If you're never going to get it, then don't waste your time, because life is very short. And we don't even know, really, if we're going to... Well, to tell a very amusing anecdote. One of my godbrother was in Vrindavan buying a fan for his ashram in Radhakund. Usha fan. So the customer in front of him, he took a... There are two kinds of Usha fans you can get in the store. One has a 7-year guarantee, one of them had a 5-year guarantee. Nowadays in India, I don't see anything with more than 1-year guarantee, but that's another story. So he decided, okay, I'll take the guy in front of him bought the 7-year wala, so yeah, I want that one also. So they asked the shopwala,
I also want the 7-year wala. The shop wala said, sorry, he just bought the last one. But by this time his mind had gotten attached to this fan. So he said, well, maybe can you get it from Mathura? You have a branch and I can pick it up next week. The shop wala told him, hey, you don't even know if you've got 5 or 7 minutes left. What are you worrying about 5 or 7 years? This is how the Vrijavasis think. So, this is something we have to keep in mind. And one Hindi poet said, while you can, you should use your energy to the maximum degree in advancing yourself spiritually, because you don't know how long you have. Maharaj Parikshit knew that he had 7 days. We don't know that. People die every day here in Hyderabad. In car accidents, when it's summer, they die from the heat. anything can happen anytime. So we always have to keep that in mind. One sadhu in North India said, if you think about death 5 times a day, you'll be in a pretty good condition spiritually. Just set your alarm clock for five times throughout the day and see what you're doing when the alarm goes off. See where your consciousness is at. What's another good gauge? Look at what you dream at night. That's a good indicator of the state of your sukshma sharir. What kind of things do you dream about at night? Are they going to take you to Vaikuntha? We have to consider. Small question on this. Is this satisfactory? Okay, let's finish first.
The first thing you said, to have a good idea about what our future is, like concepts and meditation.
Self-awareness is the first step in therapy, the psychologists tell us.
Yes.
So self-awareness means to be aware of your karma, karma in a spiritual perspective. You should know that, it's important, because we are affected by these things.
Yes.
If all your family members are going to die tomorrow, you're going to be affected by that. So it's good to have some sort of forewarning. And?
Yeah, actually what some Jyotish had, I got some predictions about what I could see.
Mm.
But sometimes I feel that too much information about the future is unnecessary. And this
and disturbs your mind also.
It disturbs the mind, because what we want to achieve, and we have some positive thing about it. And not all the Jyotish would be
are good ones. Most of them are not. I don't know if I told you this, but whenever people come to me, they're thinking to get married, I say, see 3 good Jyotishas, then you can get an idea. No, this is order, I tell people this. Because one is going to say yes, the other is going to say no, and the third one will break the tie. But they have to be good ones, otherwise you're throwing away your money. And they can be expensive also. So, then?
So, it sometimes is discouraging, and sometimes. And also that in spiritual things.
Ramayana says, discouragement is the greatest enemy. Never, never ever allow yourself to be discouraged. Vishada. It is tamoguna. It is not necessary, it's not anything dutiful, it's just, it's a troublesome emotion that springs from ignorance.
What if the prediction says something discouraging about the future?
If the prediction of the 3 good Jyotishas is discouraging, well then you have to strategize, that's the whole point. You have to strategize with reality that you cannot change. You have to work with it somehow or other. You have to make the, what do they say in English? When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So this is the idea. And, spiritual life is above these things, always. At least ideally it is. I see that people's spiritual life can also be affected by their mundane karma. It's true. So, We're living in 2 worlds at the same time. This is the problem. We've got 1 foot in the Vyavaharic realm, and we've got another foot in the Paramarthic realm, we hope. So, it's a balance. Grihastha ashram, I mean to say. This is a balancing act. Brahmacharis don't have to worry about this. They have no Vyavaharic engagements. Sannyasis, also. They don't have to worry about this. Vanaprasthas are minimizing. They're removing. But the grihasthas are very complicated world. Very, very complicated. So it's not so easy. But the combination of different kinds of gurus, it will help. Is that okay? 100%? Finished? Okay, your question.
From the astrology of the chart, one can know one is prarabdha already. So if there is some you've already seen in the chart, but then you don't see it happening, so do we take it for sure that it's Krishna interfering? How do we understand?
After you see three good astrologers. Because here's the thing, karmani nirta hati kinchit bhakti bhaja. Brahma Samhita tells us, for those who are participating in bhakti, Krishna removes, he burns away all the karma. Not all the karma, but a good amount of the karma. How much karma? We don't know. We never know. You never know if it's Krishna acting or if it's your karma. You don't know. But if you've got several good jyotishas who can give you a good idea of what is your karma, then you have some idea. Clear?
Yes. Go to the next program.
Oh, I have to go to another program. Kim Shuk, if it's quick and easy. Okay, we can continue on this topic, but it's already almost 12 o'clock. Thank God, Kari Dung, Karnataraya. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.